the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now we offer prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, including Sri Jiva Goswami. Nana Sastra Vicharane Kanipunau Shad Dharma Samsthapakau Lokanama Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Anyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anande Namattalikau Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugau Shri Jiva Gopalakau. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Pat Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mode of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayan Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Jai Shri Prabhupada Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. Hare Krishna everyone. Again, please accept my humble obeisances. All good to Srila Prabhupada. Welcome back. So, this very first PowerPoint that you see there, we have been discussing the first theme of Sri Bhakti Sandarbha of Sri Jiva Goswami. And the first theme is the criteria of complete methodology for the realization of the absolute, that is Abhideya. The process by which we attain our supreme goal, Krishna Prema. And the very last week, we discussed, we heard the first lesson, and that was all about how easy it is to practice devotion, bhakti. And the most important take-home part of that lesson is this five stages of progression once we start bhakti and continue making progress further and further. It begins with simply hearing. So we have to have a taste for hearing Krishna Katha, you know. And if we don't have that, how do we get it? In fact, there is a process can get it, and that is by serving the advanced Vaishnavas who have that natural taste for hearing Krishna Katha, you know. Sushrusa Sadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Purnya Tirtha Nishevanath. So simply hearing and serving this advanced Vaishnavas, advanced devotees who are usually found at the places of pilgrimage where Krishna enacted his sweet pastimes. So simply by rendering service unto them, we develop, we cultivate this taste for hearing Krishna Katha, you know. So that is the beginning process. And then it continues onwards. Shrunatam Sakatha Krishna Puni Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Bhadrani Vidnoti Suhrat Sita. So Krishna situated in everyone's heart, especially those devotees who are Satam devotees, very sincere devotees, who are regular devotees with great sincerity and regularity. So they always chant the holy names of Krishna, Shravana Kirtana. So that itself is very virtuous. So in those people's heart, Krishna sitting in their heart, begin to really cleanse their heart of all the impurities. No? So then, so it continues with that, and then Naishik Bhakti is established. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. So these devotees who develop the taste for hearing Krishna Katha, they name it regularly, Nityam, always serve Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata, and people Bhagavata. Those Bhagavatas are devotees of Krishna, pre-Satam devotees. So constantly serving them, then you get this Naishtika Bhakti. Then you attain steadiness in your own Bhakti, actually, you know, towards Krishna. And then, at that time what happens, Tada, Rajas Tamo Bhava, Kama Lobha Adayashaya, Chet Etir Anavittam, Sthitam Sattve Prasidati. So then Krishna, who cleanses their hearts, what does he do that till that time? When steady bhakti has been established in their heart by Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. So what happens, he removes the modes of passion and ignorance, the lower modes, whose outer manifestation is this Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Madha, Moha, Matsara, the six undesirable traits, which are enemies of our mind, actually, you know. We need the mind to fix on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So he removes those lower modes, and then in that place, he establishes mode of pure goodness, you know. And then it makes further progress. When the mode of pure goodness is established, evam prasanna manaso, then you become very, very blissful, you know, and very, very happy mood, actually. Evam prasanna manaso, bhakti yogate yojita. So at that time, pure bhakti is established. So which pure bhakti, it's very difficult to attain, and Krishna doesn't give to anyone like that, you know. Because why? Because Krishna himself became the servant of such devotees, you know. He submit himself to such devotees. So he does not give unless you qualify for that. So at that time, pure bhakti is established by Krishna in our heart, actually. And then what happened, actually? So when pure bhakti is happening, then bhakti, sradaya granthi, so that Bhagavat Tatya Vijnanam is established, the science of pure Krishna is established. So as you can see, it began with simply associating with the sadhus and then hearing, chanting the holy name, actually. That's the whole process that begins and goes all the way. So when science of Krishna consciousness developed through who Krishna really is, then what happens? The influence of that, Pidyate Hridaye Granthis, Chintyate Sarva Samshaya, Kshiyante Chasya Karmani, Drashta Evatmani Ishvare. So this tight note that we have in our heart, this note between what? Matter and spirit. We are spirit soul, and we have this tremendous propensity, this enjoying propensity, materially enjoying propensity we have, that we cannot ourselves untie that note. So he shatters that note, and then all the doubts, misgivings are removed from our heart. And Kshiyante Chasya Karmani, all the karmic creations that been accumulated over millions and millions of lifetimes is completely destroyed, you know. And then we become drashta evatmanishvara, then we become realize who we are actually, because our true knowledge, our true entity, that we are not this spirit soul, we are not this body, but pure spirit souls, and we are meant to serve Krishna. So that that true knowledge, which was covered by Krishna's external potency, so Krishna removes that the Maya's influence from our heart actually now. This is all what the stages of progression, so the five stages of progression. So that was a very, very important beginning, first lesson. So for this Bhakti Sandarbha, we are going to get some really, really in-depth analysis of bhakti process, and he, Jiva Goswami, explains to us how we can cultivate. Each and every one of us really can cultivate this process if we are sincere enough, if we are regular enough in our practicing bhakti, actually, you know. So that brings us to today's lesson, and that is devotion at that's that part B, you see there right, on the right hand top corner. Devotion intended for Shri Krishna. So once we develop that kind of bhakti, so we have to also understand who that, you know, bhakti unto who, you know, one who is supreme, you know, who is all pervading, who is situated in everyone's heart, who is the originator of this material universe. And he maintains the universe and all the living beings, and he ultimately destroys. So that Lord Shri Krishna, that we must recognize. So that is what been emphasized in today's lessons, that we will see who is the complete whole, you know. So that is lesson 2, and we will be discussing text 18 through 32. We discussed first 17 text Anuchedas in the last week, in the first lesson. Alright, so let us break down what is that lesson 2 is really composed of. So here there are three parts to it. So first and foremost, which is very, very important for us to realize, that demigod, what if your goal is to attain Krishna Prema, Krishna Bhakti, then we must clearly understand that demigod worship is completely no-no, you know, it's completely prohibited, you know. And why it is so, that is what we are going to understand here. So demigod worship is not recommended for those aspiring for the ultimate welfare. Ultimate welfare means not only we want to become free from material existence, and no one can give that liberation, no demigods can give liberation. Only Krishna can give. That's why his another name is called Mukunda, one who gives liberation. But liberation is not the ultimate goal for the devotees. Ultimate goal for the devotee is to really attain Krishna Prema, you know, Krishna Prema Bhakti. And so those whose ultimate goal is that, Krishna Prema Bhakti, then they must clearly should not worship demigods. At the same time, demigods are really the devotees of the Lord, although they are circumbhaktas, those they themselves have material desires, but nonetheless they are devotees of the Lord and very pious souls, and that is why Krishna appointed them as the administrator of the universe. So we must understand clearly that we should not we should respect them as they are. But they are not the supreme being. They are the servants of the supreme being. That we must realize that. So that we will see here. Jiva Goswami quotes many, many verses to establish that fact actually. Then the second part of today's lesson is this devotion. So once we realize that it is not the demigods we need to worship. We should worship the supreme being who embodies complete synthesis. Who is the supreme being, that is established in the second part, text 21 to 32 actually. And the third and the final part of today's lesson is life without devotion is meaningless. So particularly human form of life, you know, if it means anything to us, it certainly does not meant to enjoy materially, obviously, those who are Krishna conscious. So their human form of life, devotion is the ultimate thing. That without devotion, a human form of life has no meaning to it, really. It has no meaning, it is no worth living, basically. So that is what it is about. Ultimately, this lesson 2 is the devotion intended for Shri Krishna, the complete whole. So verses 18 through 40 that we will be discussing today. But let's talk about the first part, the prohibition of demigod worship. So devotion intended for Shri Krishna, the complete whole, this is the lesson 2. So up until this point, Jiva Goswami has already established and made, has already concluded, there are three paths, three avenues for self-realization, Karma Yoga, Jnani Yoga, and so on like that, and Ashtanga Yoga. But so Jnana and Vairagya, Karma, Jnana and Vairagya, these are the endeavors. And one should, so these paths, karma, jnana, and detachment, these are the avenues for one can attain self-realization, but they themselves are not independent. Ultimately, we saw in the first lesson that all these paths must ultimately come to a bhakti platform. So they depend on bhakti, whereas bhakti path is completely independent of jnana and vairagya. In fact, bhakti itself gives, the product of bhakti itself gives this jnana and vairagya. Knowledge and detachment automatically comes with it. That's why you notice devotees, you know, in the beginning they may have a tendency for this knowledge gathering and detachment, but when they become steadiness in their bhakti, attain steadiness, then automatically they become detached from all material pursuits, you know. All this jnana means not the transcendental knowledge we talk about, but jnana means those, you know, the speculative knowledge, you know, which is of no use. That kind of knowledge, we must get rid of that. So that is what he already established. So bhakti is totally independent, you know. Okay, so he begins with text 18, 19, and 20, where demigod worship is not recommended for those aspiring for ultimate welfare. So here, Sri Jiva Goswami cites, quotes Suta Goswami's 7 verses, actually, that he spoke to the sages of Naimisharanya. And that is the first canto, second chapter, text 23-29, and I'm not going to go each of those verses, because those verses are very famous verses are there, you know, and we actually refer to those verses in different contexts before, actually, you know. But the point here is that why is that demigod worship is not recommended for those whose goal is to attain Krishna Bhakti, you know, Krishna Prema, you know, the ultimate shelter. The ultimate, Krishna is the ultimate shelter. So those whose goal is that, they should not go by that path to demigod worship. And the reasons are mentioned here. Because, you know, people who, in fact, especially those of us who come from India originally, we have this tendency, actually. You visit any Indian temple, you see that, you will see the temple, scores and scores of demigods will be there, you know, all different types of demigods. And Krishna will be somewhere in one of the corner, will be there. So most Indians, they have no clear knowledge what is the true position of Lord Krishna is really, vis-a-vis with his other demigods, you know. But they worship different demigods because of some specific material desires they have there. And we already know material desires, karma, and all these things, the desires, if it does not become satisfied, then we become very angry actually. And even if we get satisfied, then we become greedy, we want more and more. And like that, Kama Krodha Lobha Madha Moha Matsara develops, you know. So demigod worship is those promotes the mode of passion and ignorance, because these are the outer manifestation of passion and ignorance. So those who worship demigods, they are generally under the influence of these lower modes, because they have these material desires, you know. And material desires originate because their heart is controlled by these lower modes, mode of passion and ignorance. Where Krishna himself also, in Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna to really transcend this demigod worship actually. Now he says that actually 7th chapter, text 20, you know, Kame stai stair hita jnana, you know, prapadyante anya devata. So those whose intelligence, hita jnana, those whose intelligence is stolen because of their strong material desires, you know, to enjoy materially, and that's why they seek, you know, suppose I want to get big profit in my business, I want to get a very good paying job, I want to get married, I want to have a son, a daughter, something like that. So then they worship these demigods, you know. Even they perform this, you know, different yajnas. If their goal is, the motive is to get some material benedictions, you know, from the demigods. That's why they go there, you know. But that is not there, really. That's not the recommended path, you know. Because there, and that's why Krishna says, why it is so? First, because of their knowledge is stolen because the strong material desires. Kama is placed there, ritigyana, prapadyante anya devataha. Then, and the subsequent verse, he actually says that, you know, that those people are also of low intelligence, alpa medasa, you know, antavata phalatu, antavata. So, their, whatever the benediction they get from the demigods, that result of that fruit, the fruit of that benediction is also very limited. The demigods themselves also have a very limited lifespan, although compared to us, they have significantly much, much longer lifespan. But nonetheless, they are there situated in the heavenly planets because of their pious credits they accumulate. Kshine punya vishanti prithvi loka. As soon as their pious credits get depleted, they must come down to earthly planets actually, you know. So their themselves positions are, even their planets also ultimately become destroyed as part of the material universe. So their result, whatever the benediction they give, they have finite lifespan, you know, and that's not permanent. So first of all, because they, those who are under the mode of passion and ignorance, they worship demigods, that must we must remember. Whereas Krishna, Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, is in the mode of pure goodness, you know. So in fact, we'll see many verses that Jiva Goswami quotes. Let's go one by one actually. So here says that worship of demigods is those with material desires. That's text 19 is given there. And such worship conducted under mode of passion and ignorance. That's text 20, you know. So these three text, Jiva Goswami talks about that. So while Lord Vishnu, the husband of goddess of fortune, may even grant material desires, so those, even those people, those devotees who are neophytes, in the very beginning stage, their goal, of course, they realize that I want to develop devotion towards Lord Krishna, but still in their heart they still have this desire for material enjoyment, you know. So but they don't resort themselves to demigod worship. Rather, they would first worship Krishna. So Krishna also grants material desires, but at the same time, Krishna also purifies such people's hearts that they don't develop that kind of material desires. So eventually, Krishna purifies their heart, you know. Because why? Because yes, we heard that. More and more we are engaged in chanting the holy name, hearing about Krishna Katha, he removes those moods, lower moods, who are the causes that develop material desires in our heart. So he removes those moods, and that place he establishes pure mode of goodness. So then we become really pure devotees. All the material desires are completely uprooted from our heart. You know? So that's the beauty part of it. In fact, one of the verses that Sri Jiva Goswami actually quotes that, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, what is the verse that? Akamava sarva kamava moksha kama udartihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So those who are akama, those who have no material desires, or with material desires, sakama, akama, vakamava, moksha kama udari, or those who desire freedom from material existence, they tivrena bhakti yogena, they actually very steadfastly engage themselves bhakti towards Krishna, you know, and they become free actually, you know. Yajeta purusham param. Nonetheless, they always worship Krishna, even though when they have material desires or no materialism or desire for liberation, they ultimately surrender unto Sri Krishna and their heart becomes purified. So that is what Jiva Goswami actually established this path. That's what. So that is the first part, where the first and very most important lesson that we must learn when our goal is to develop Krishna Prema is to really transcend this demigod worship. Why? Because we have to because we have these material desires. So we need to transcend those material desires, and that's why we need first, we need to, nonetheless we should serve Krishna. So he will purify our heart, the very cause of our material desires, and that is the lower modes of material nature, mode of passion and ignorance. So that is the, we must really understand that. In fact, in my early stages of bhakti, I was a great worshipper for Lord Shiva actually, and still in my heart, I have a great veneration, respect towards Lord Shiva. Not because he is a great demigod, Mahadeva, but he is also a great Vaishnava, you know. And so devotees, sometimes they worship demigods is to ultimately to get Krishna Bhakti actually, you know. As we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, we learn that gopis, they worship Mother Katyayani, you know. Actually, that's the expansion of Mata Durga, actually, Mata, you know. But their goal was to get Krishna as their husband, you know. So that is what we have to recognize, that, you know. So we have to first recognize that demigods are not the supreme. They are the servants of Krishna, and they are, nonetheless, they are pure souls. I mean, they are very pious souls, but they are the appointed administrators of the universe. So when we worship, not worship them as supreme, but as the servant of Krishna, and by their mercy, by their blessings, we should pray how to attain Krishna Prema, how to become a devotee, steadfast devotee of Krishna. So if you worship them with that kind of consciousness, with that kind of understanding and realization, then there's no problem actually. So that's what I wanted to draw that very clearly there. Okay, so now we move on to the second section. So now we are going to go through that verses that Jiva Goswami quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, now that we realize demigod worship is not recommended path for us with our supreme goal. So devotion is meant for the entity, for one who embodies complete synthesis, who is the supreme, you know, who is the original personality of Godhead, he's a person. So that has been established in this text 21 to 32. So here says, as you see in this PowerPoint, all scriptures conclude in the worship. So first of all, Jiva Goswami gives a scriptural foundation for that fact. All the scriptures, they do ultimately establish the worship of Lord Shri Krishna. So here he quotes this verse. Again, Suta Goswami speaks to the sages of Naimishanya. This is the first canto, second chapter, text 28-29. So I'm straightway going to read the translation. The Vedas establish Lord Krishna. All the Vedic scriptures, they do establish that. The sacrifices are ultimately for the sake of Krishna. That he is the, his other name is Yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. So that is the name of Krishna. The goal of yoga is ultimately Krishna. Not getting those this mystic siddhis, perfections. That is not the goal of yoga. Many practitioners of yoga, they don't understand. They think it is for the health benefits. No, that's not. Ultimately, yoga, meaning of yoga is to link with the Supreme. So that is the ultimate goal, Krishna is the ultimate goal. The purpose of all prescribed action is to attend Krishna. So even as we saw the Varnashram duties, we have prescribed duties according to our position in Varna and Ashrama, the four occupational duties, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and four ashramas, spiritual Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, Sannyasa Ashrama. Each of these positions in Varnashram Dharma have particular prescribed duties, but ultimately it is meant to offer the results of those prescribed duties to Krishna actually. And then we saw that verse in the last week, also we discussed about one of the verses that Hari Toshanam. Ultimately, it is prescribed duties are meant for the satisfaction of Shri Krishna. So that's what it says. The purpose of all prescribed duties is to attain Shri Krishna ultimately, because the goal is to really purify our heart, and then once purified heart, then we become steadiness in our bhakti for towards Krishna, and then we realize who Krishna really is. And penance, austerities and penance is also to achieve Shri Krishna. So goal of religious duties is Krishna, and the ultimate destination is Krishna. Is that famous verse, Vasudeva Para, Vasudeva Paramukha, and that great verse actually, Vasudeva Para Veda, Vasudeva Para Makha, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva Para Kriya. So goal of everything is really Krishna. All the goal of the Vedic studies, Vasudeva Yoga, all the yogas, all the Kriya, all the karmas, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, and the knowledge, the ultimate object of our knowledge is also Krishna. Vasudeva Param Tapaha, all the austerities and penances is also meant to please Shri Krishna. Vasudeva Parodharma, our supreme duty, we have Swadharma and we have Parodharma. So we all have individual duties, of course, as a husband, as a father and so on like that. We all have duties. But ultimate duty is towards Shri Krishna. So that Parodharma is also for meant for that. And Vasudeva Paragati, the ultimate destination of our human form of life is also Vasudeva, Lord Vasudeva. So that verse Ashrita Jiva Goswami quotes actually. Okay, so that is text 21. Moving on to text 22. Krishna is the complete synthesis. And to understand then what he meant is the verse he quotes actually. Again, it is spoken by Suta Goswami to sages of Naimisharanya. Is text 30 actually, second chapter, first canto. Only he means Krishna, the supreme person. So he is a person who is free from the modes of all pervading, from the modes and all pervading. He is situated everywhere. Created the world in the beginning through his Maya. We saw it Paramatma Sandarbha in great details. Paramatma is an expansion, all pervading. Paramatma is an expansion of the Lord, meant for the sole purpose of this creation and maintenance and ultimately dissolution of this material universe is. And Paramatma's external potency is Maya, actually, you know, the illusory potency. In the beginning, through his Maya, which consists of the three modes of material nature, and whose nature is the cause and effect, that verse actually. So ultimately, it is the Krishna who is the supreme, who is the complete synthesis. So Maya belongs to him. And the third point Srila Jiva Goswami makes is this text 23. Awareness without bhakti lacks beauty. So what he's saying that without bhakti it's no beauty there actually. So that in order to support that, he quotes a verse. Actually, it's from the fifth chapter of first canto, text 12, where Narad Muni actually speaks to Vyasadeva. In fact, in that chapter 5 and 6, two chapters, we see that actually Narad Muni actually chastises Vyasa also, actually, you know, because Vyasa in the beginning, because of this, he composed this Mahabharata and others. That there he, you know, talks about a lot about this worldly things, kind of worldly religion. So that's why he chastises that. So here's this verse. Even knowledge that is pure and free from bondage to action is without beauty. So just even that knowledge, even though it is free from all this karmic bondage and all this thing, even that is also not really recommended beauty, if devoid of devotion. So jnana must be mixed with devotion. Without devotion, jnana and vairagya is of no use. Kshama eva hi kevalam, you know. So Lord Achyuta, who is, unfailing to his devotees. What then can be said of action karma, which is always inauspicious when not offered to the Lord, even if performed without material motive? So even this Nishkam Karma Yoga without material desires. So remember this yoga later. In the beginning, there's a karma kanda. So you have a strong material desires. So you perform karma to please the demigods and so on, like that. It's karma kanda, you know. And then you realize that demigods are not supreme. There is someone else who controls the demigods. So once that knowledge becomes realized, then the karma kanda becomes karma yoga. So through performing karma, we link ourselves to Krishna prema, Krishna bhakti. So that is karma yoga. So first kind of karma yoga is called sakam karma yoga. You still have material desires, but now that devotee realizes that ultimately it is the supreme being to whom the karma must be performed. So that is sakarma yoga. So he links himself to Krishna, but he still performs that karma because he still is attached to his desires, material desires. Then later on he makes further progress. Sakam karma yoga become nishkam karma yoga or buddhi yoga that Krishna talks so much in Bhagavad Gita. So that is desirable. Then you perform actions without any kind of material desires, and then you offer the results of your karma to the Supreme. But even Nishkarma Yoga, Nishkarma without material desires, and you offer the results of the Krishna, still one is attached to that karma, you know. And then one makes progress, and then when he attains transcendental knowledge of Krishna, then he comes to the Jnana Yoga platform, you know. And then Jnana Yoga becomes further, so on and so, makes ultimately he comes to Bhakti Yoga platform. But the recommendation is that instead of going through the stepwise ladder, yoga ladder, why not directly follow Bhakti Yoga right from beginning? So then when you perform Bhakti Yoga, automatically all these paths are taken care of, that, you know. So that is the point here. So here Narada Muni is telling Vyasa, even knowledge that is pure and free from bondage to action is without beauty, is devoid of devotion. Ultimately, all this path must come to the bhakti platform. Nishkam Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Jnana Yoga ultimately comes to the bhakti platform. That is the supreme goal actually. You know? If it does not come to devotion, then it's inauspicious, not very auspicious. When not offered to the Lord, even if performed without material motive. So that verse Jiva Goswami quotes to prove his point. So here he says, even Nishkam Karma Yoga without bhakti is stripped of its beauty. By prescribing, so here's another verse, by prescribing reprehensible activities in the name of religion for people who are naturally inclined to those you have acted wrongly. So he chastises Vyasa, you know, Srila Vyasa there, because in Mahabharata and all, he talks about all these things. Vyasa's goal at that time is to appeal to the mass of people. The mass of people are attached to their material desires and karmas and so on like that. But eventually, Narada Muni chastises that, you know, people have naturally inclined towards material enjoyment, their propensity, and you have given them the reason for that, you know. So you did not do a right thing actually. That's why he chastises. And that's why he eventually he asked Srila Vyasadeva to again recompile Bhagavat Purana, Srila Bhagavatam, because in those other Puranas he did not discuss the transcendental attributes of Lord Shri Krishna. So now he asked him to recompile Bhagavatam and now discuss specifically the beautiful transcendental attributes of Shri Krishna. Simply hearing that, people will become purified. That's the point here. Okay, moving on then. So bhakti is all auspiciousness. In fact, one of the six characteristics of bhakti that is discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated by Srila Prabhupada in the English translation, there we learned actually in Bhakti Shastra course, there are six characteristics of pure bhakti. And one of that is this, bhakti is all auspicious. If one renounces his prescribed duty and engages in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, but falls down before becoming perfect. Now this is the question actually, even Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna actually asked Lord Shri Krishna that you are asking me to give up all this thing. And directly come to the bhakti platform unto you. But what happens if I don't become successful? So this verse actually in the fifth chapter, Narada Muni actually tells to Vyasa also the same thing, you know, that if suppose one gives up, renounces all material desires and come to the bhakti platform, but suppose before attaining perfection and the bhakti of, if a person not engaged in the service of the Lord executes his prescribed duty, what does he gain? So this is a negative way of proving the same thing. So Krishna also says to Arjuna that nothing is lost. So alpam piyasya asit, so alpam asya asramasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little thing done on the bhakti platform is never the best. In fact, right, it is deposited in our spiritual bank. And it will protect you from the greatest fear of our human form of life actually. Because what is the greatest fear? That we may have to come back. We may have to come back in this material world again. And then we are not even sure that we will get human form of life. You know? So Lord, at the very least, if you've done a little bit bhakti and still you are not successful, at least in the next life he makes sure that we will again come back in the human form of life. And we will continue from the point that we left off from previous life, actually. You know? So that is a great thing about Krishna Bhakti. And from Bhagavatam, we also learn from several pastimes of the several devotees that we remember our previous lifetime, actually, that little thing we had done that. You know? That also Krishna makes sure about that. Okay, that's text 24. Devotion unto ultimate reality is existential methodology. So this is what the Abhideya bhakti process itself is, that devotion unto the ultimate reality, that's Sri Krishna. So here he quotes the verse that's spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And that is, here it is, Shrotavya Adini Rajendra Nirnam Santi Shastra Sa Apashatam Atma Tattvam Kriheshu Graha Medina. So the translation, O King, there are thousands of topics to be heard, spoken and discussed by human beings who are ignorant about ultimate reality and are attached to their household affairs. So this is the situation of all materially minded person, people, mass of people in the real world, actually. That's called Grahamedi, as opposed to Grahastha. Grahastha ashram means whose goal, even though they are doing the same thing, they have a job, they have family to take care of them, everything is there, what the non-devotees are doing. But the non-devotees, are all goal is to enjoy materially and take care of the family and so on like that. They remain perpetually fixed, life after life after life. In the Grahastha ashrama, they know, even though they are attached to all things, they have, but the goal is to become Krishna conscious. So they engage themselves in Krishna conscious activities, and they engage their family members also that, you know, in that kind of pursuit, and they ultimately become purified, and they take care of their family members also. So that is what is actually what Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, you know. That one should not be Grahamedi, rather one should become Grahastha. So, text 25, devotion is meant for the master and the soul of all. So all these points that what we are, what Srila Jiva Goswami is establishing, in fact, that our goal must be towards pleasing, satisfying the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, the goal of our bhakti, that must be there. You know, all these points are actually pointing towards that. So then is another verse here, Lord Brahma speaks actually. Therefore, O descendant of Bharata, a person desiring freedom from fear should hear about, glorify, and remember. So here actually that verse spoken by of course in that chapter is talk. Discuss about Lord Brahma, secondary creation or thing. But here, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj had asked a question actually. So he responds, he's answering that question here. That, O descendant of Bharata, O Parikshit Maharaj, a person desiring freedom from fear should hear about, glorify, and remember. Because Parikshit Maharaj asked that those who desire Krishna Bhakti, what should they do that? What kind of what should they be doing that? So he is asking that. Tasmat Bharata Savatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtivyascha Smartavyascha Ichatam Abhayam Ichatam Abhayam. So those who desire Ichatam Abhayam, freedom from fear, fear from material existence, they, what they should do, they should constantly hear Shrotavya Kirti Vishya, hear and chant. That means motivate others also to chant and hear about Krishna. And then remember Lord Shri Krishna and his pastimes. They should be doing that thing. Those who desire to become fearless, you know. So Krishna removes all our fear also from our heart. And who should get it? Sarvatma, those, the one who is the soul of all souls. Sarvatma, he is Bhagavan, he is possessed of six kinds of opulence. Ishwara, he is the supreme controller, and is Hari, who takes away the pain and sufferings from our material life, you know. tasmat Bharata, oh, therefore, you know. So, therefore, oh, descendant Bharata, a person desiring freedom from fear should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord Shri Hari, who is the master and the supreme soul of everyone. So that's the ultimate goal, actually. You know? And liberation is nothing other than attainment of Lord, accompanied by cessation of all miseries. So, what is real liberation for devotees? Ordinary liberation means freedom from material existence. But for the devotees, liberation means beyond that, actually. Even after cessation of material miseries, their liberation is beyond that. They never have to come back into your life again. Text 26. Devotion is meant for the witness of all phenomena. Means, again, it's the another characteristics of Lord Shri Krishna, that he is the witness. He is a Paramatma, he is situated in the super soul in our heart, everyone's heart. And he is the witness of all the activities of the individual soul, what he is doing, you know. So he is that supreme soul. So here is the verse. Just as a person while dreaming imagines himself in different forms and experiences various objects through the senses of those dreams, dream bodies, similarly, the Lord experiences everything through the mental states of all living beings. One should not become engrossed in anything else because it leads to self-degradation. So again, we have to learn and cultivate our bhakti, hearing, chanting and remembering Lord Shri Krishna all the time. We need to attain perfection in those kind of activities. Another verse is that the yogi who has attained perfection by meditation on the universe. So, this is the verse actually. Sharad Prabhu actually asked me that question about that. You know, the yogi who has attained perfection by meditation on this universal form, so Virat Rupa, even through all the knowledge and acquiring senses within the universal form, should worship only Lord Narayana, the abode of truth and bliss and the indwelling soul, that is Paramatma, of the universal form. He should not become proceeding from meditation on it, because that attachment leads only to material bondage. Atma Pata. There's a typo there actually. It should be Atma Pata, the destroyer of its own soul actually. So what here Sharad Prabhu is a little bit confused about that. The point is not that we should really worship Virat Rupa. For devotees is not the goal, because what is Virat Rupa? Virat Rupa is the material manifestation of the Supreme, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, you know. That was meant to provide a blueprint for Lord Brahma, you know. So here, Shri Sukadeva Goswami, when he begins, what is the first lesson for a neophyte, when one is not yet a Krishna devotee, then first thing he should do is to really observe this gigantic material form, you know, this great universe and great beautiful things, and then he realizes there's something supreme must be there who created such beautiful things, such gigantic universes and so on like that, the great, great vastness of the universe, you know. Then he becomes really intrigued by that. So that is a beginning process. Then he must realize that there is actually the material manifestation of the Supreme. So those who are not devotees, they should first get that, the first level of self-realization, you know. So then he makes the second point, then dwelling on the Paramatma and so on like that, you know. So only in that point actually is mentioned, that point. Not for the devotees, but those who are not on the devotional platform yet, this is the recommended path to begin the process. The yogi who has attained perfection by meditation on the universal form, even through all the knowledge of acquiring senses within the universal form, should worship only Lord Narayana, the abode of truth and bliss and the dwelling soul of the universal form. So universal form is actually, that is the Virat Rupa, you know. So you should not become proceeding from meditation on it, because that attachment leaves only the material bondage, because that is ultimately, it's a material manifestation. It's an imaginary form in that sense. Okay, text 27. Meditation on the cosmos is advised until devotion manifests. So that is what Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj. First step, second step, and so on, like before he becomes person becomes a devotee, you know. So that Virat Rupa meditation is maintained only when one is not yet attained devotional platform. As long as loving devotion has not manifested towards the Lord of the universe, who is the witness and who makes even the exalted seem insignificant. Paravare means this, like Lord Brahma, the chief demigods, you know. One should complete one's duties and then meditate with great attention upon the cosmos as embodying the Lord's form. So this is the stepwise process, how one comes to devotional platform. So only those devotees, those people, those neophytes who has not yet come to devotional platform, then recommended path for them to first meditate on this Virat Rupa actually, and then become really enchanted, becomes really amazed by this great universal thing in that, you know. Then realize that must be supreme being, supreme entity, who has made this gigantic universe. So that is the Lord's form. Okay, text 28. Jnana, the path of immediate liberation. Yoga, the path of gradual liberation. And Bhakti, the path of true liberation, ultimate liberation. O King, when a yogi desires to leave the world, he should not be concerned about the auspicious time. Now this is again, Krishna also mentions in Bhakti, in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita actually. A yogi who wants to leave this universe, you know, he can do that by this meditation process. He can select a particular time to leave his body, you know. But he has to correctly calculate that proper time, you know. A daytime, you know, is an appropriate time for that, when there is a sunlight is there and so on like that. You know, various conditions are mentioned. But there Krishna also mentioned, for a devotee, he does not have to worry about that actually. For devotee, doesn't matter, you know, as long as he is a devotee, doesn't matter what time he leaves his body, his ultimate destination is assured for him, that is spiritual world, you know, and the abode of Krishna, that is assured for a devotee. He doesn't have to worry about that. But for a yogi, you know, whose goal is not that yet, he has to worry about that, a proper time of giving up his body. Alright. Virtue of undertaking direct bhakti. So these are the step-wise things. Now one who takes directly bhakti process. For people wandering in this material world, there is no path more auspicious than that by which one can acquire bhakti yoga for the Supreme Lord Vasudev. So you see, you can realize, you can begin to see this point now. What Srila Jiva Goswami is pointing out, the glories of bhakti, a direct process, you know. One doesn't have to worry about the stepwise process, stepwise yoga ladder process. If one takes up bhakti directly, and that is the means to attain Sri Krishna actually. That's the point here. And the virtue of undertaking bhakti. For people wandering in this material world, there is no path more auspicious than that by which one can acquire bhakti yoga for the Supreme Lord, Sri Vasudev. Lord Vasudev. Devotion, so now text 29. Devotion is the essence of all the Vedas. So now the Vedic scriptures, they also say the same thing. Already quoted many verses actually in support of that. only the complete whole can synthesize all the way. So Vedas themselves also come from the Lord, Lord's lotus mouth. Vedas originate from that, you know. So he is the supreme authority. That's why Krishna says again, Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshi Sarvaham Vedyo Veda. I am known by the Vedas. I am the compiler of Vedas in the form of Vyasadeva and so on, like that. After thoroughly studying and deliberating upon the Vedas three times with awareness, the Venerable Brahma thoughtfully concluded that the best duty is that which evokes love for Krishna, the soul of a soul. Now here again, Sharad Prabhu wrote me, sent me an email. I think let me read this if I have, let me see. Here it is. So this is about slide 8. He says that what surprises most is that why such simple truth such as bhakti is topmost is not understood by even exalted personalities. So here the verse, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes that Brahma, our Lord Brahma, he studied Vedas three times, you know. So here, Sharad Prabhu interprets a little bit differently than I would have done that. You know. What he says that, as explained in the slide 8, referring to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.34, Brahma realized this in his third attempt to understand the Vedas. Brahma, who is made of pure intelligence, on his first attempt to understand the Vedas, concluded that Karma Yukanda is the most important theme. On his second attempt, he concluded that jnana is the most important. Only in his third attempt, he concluded that bhakti is most important. If Brahma is in that situation, then our not understanding is nothing surprising. So, Sharad Prabhu, what I would say that before one makes a conclusion, interpretation of that, one has to see that it ties all loose ends actually. You know? One should not take a direct meaning right away actually. In fact, Sri Jiva Goswami told us, you know, when we did Bhagavad Sandarbha, when a direct meaning does not make sense, then one has to go to the alternative meaning, right? So here, first of all, what is given? We know Lord Brahma is the pure devotee of the Lord. In fact, Krishna blessed him with pure bhakti when the Lord was very pleased by his tapa, by his austerities. You know, for 1,000 years he performed these austerities at the very beginning of the universe, when he was the only living entity was there at that time, and he did not know who he was. You know, so then he, you know, goes and then ultimately then he heard the word, the voice, tapa, tapa, so he performed tapasya. So Lord was very pleased and he blessed him with pure devotion, pure bhakti, you know. So clearly Lord Brahma cannot be in that kind of ignorance that he would study one by one like Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda and like that, you know. Vedas, nearly about 80-85% is this Karma Kanda, you know, and about 10-15% is Jnana Kanda, and then Upasana Kanda is but less than 5%. But even that Upasana Kanda, Bhakti Kanda, is not pure Bhakti. There is Bhakti on the mode of passion and ignorance. You know? So that's not a pure bhakti. Some material motive is intended. A pure bhakti is 1/1000th of 1% might be there actually. You know, it's extremely rare. So Lord Brahma was already benedicted by the Lord pure bhakti. So Lord Brahma could not possibly have gone like that. So when he said three times, it's not like that, that he went through this karma kanda, realizing that, then jnana kanda, and so on like that. No. So that doesn't make sense. So one has to make sure all the things that are agreed. So that fact, we have to remember that Brahma is no ordinary soul. He is a pure devotee of the Lord, actually. No. So that point I just wanted to bring about. I had a lot more to say, but let's first keep on going now because of the time. It's just like you know, when you solving crossword puzzle, I do play chess. I practice Sudoku also. It's just to as an exercise for my brain, actually, you know. Thinking ability. I do all this in my spare time just to improve my memory power and so like that. So there we learn, actually, you know, that every in chess, every move we make, we have to, before we have to think to what is the counter move will be there, and what is the, when the somebody puts counter move, I'll be playing that. So several moves in the depth we have to think about it. Same way in Sudoku, you know, crossword puzzle and so like that, across and downward. Everything one has to match, then only you can make a final determination. You know? The same way here also, you know, you should not take directly in this, the face value of what is said, that because that does not tie with the fact. Here the fact is that a Brahma could not be that an ordinary soul, ignorant soul, that he would actually study Veda three times just to go through this step-wise ladder and so on like that, because he was already a pure bhakta, pure devotee, actually, you know. So I would not say that, actually. All right, Sharad Prabhu. Okay. So this is the text 30. Is the what is the function by which the attraction of Krishna comes about? What is the function by which attraction for Krishna comes about? So devotion itself really awakens love for Sri Krishna. But that is the means by which that we get in Krishna. When becomes mature, then it leads to Krishna Prema. There are 9 stages for that, you know. So this is what Jiva Goswami is now discussing about that in the 30th text. So Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring to Sukadeva Goswami, what should human beings hear about? In fact, we already heard the answer to this particular question, you know, before. Sotavya Kirtivyascha Smartavyascha, you know. So Parikshit Maharaj was inquiring, what should human beings hear about? What should they chant? What is to be performed by them? What should they remember? Whom should they worship? And what is to be avoided by them? Oh Master, please inform me all this thing. So Sukadeva Goswami now concludes that. Therefore, O King, everyone should hear about, glorify, Tasmat Sarvatma Bharata, you know that verse. O King, everyone should hear about, glorify, and remember Lord Shri Hari with the totality of their being. At all times, Sarvatma, always, you know. See, this Nityada, Sarvas, all these things are always repeatedly being emphasized here. Regularity, that concept of regularity we have to understand very clearly, actually. And we must understand the importance of it in bhakti, you know. Everyone should hear about, glorify, remember. So all these three things that you have to do, that must be done on a regular basis, all the time. With the totality of their being, at all times and in all places. That so here the Sanskrit verse is that Tasma Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada, Sarvatra everywhere, Sarvada always. Shrotavya Kirtivyascha Smartavya Bhagavan Nrinam. So everyone should hear about, glorify and remember Lord Shri Hari with the totality of their being at all times and in all places. Those who drink the nectar of the past, so here the Sanskrit. Those who drink the nectar of the pastime of the Lord, so Krishna Katha, there's a sweet nectarian, all the time one should develop the taste for that. And that taste will come only by associating with the devotees. And from the lotus part of the devotees, we should hear Krishna Katha. Then we will develop that taste actually. So those who drink the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord, and that itself is fine. Remember that we also heard that. In fact, one of the six questions the sages of Naivisharanya asked to Sudha Goswami was that actually, for what purpose the son of Devaki and Vasudev descended this material world, So then that answer that, Sudha Goswami tells the sages that it is for to reclaim his devotees back to spiritual world. By simply when he descends, he enacts the sweet pastime. Simply hearing of that sweet pastime, we come to the mode of goodness, and that makes us qualify to go back to spiritual world. So that is the point here, actually. And the pastimes of the Lord, so Krishna Katha, who is the soul of the virtuous, by filling up the cups of their ears. So devotees all the time. So in a very poetic way, this is explained here. The cups of the ears, you fill the cup with the nectar, So here you fill up the ears constantly, all the time, and purify their hearts from the contamination of sense indulgence. Because that's very, very difficult to, it's very, very difficult, Even I've been practicing for the last, 25 years, I cannot say that I'm free from this material desires. You cannot do that, It's extremely difficult. So what we have to do is constantly keep hearing and discussing with others Krishna Katha. So as long as we are doing that, we remain in the mode of goodness. Remember, the material mode of goodness can degrade into mode of passion and ignorance, right? So there's a vicious cycle going on. Goodness, passion and ignorance constantly keep on fluxing each other. So we have to get out of the vicious cycle. So somehow we have to get out of this material mode of goodness to come to pure mode of goodness. And that is possible only if keep on practicing. As long as we are hearing Krishna Katha, we will remain in the mode of goodness. Eventually mode of goodness, material mode of goodness becomes pure mode of goodness, then it will not become degraded to the lower modes again. So we rescue ourselves out of the vicious cycle. So that is the point here. Is hearing Krishna, and that Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Krishna Katha. So here Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, that is what we need to practice. And that is the key, how to become free, how to always remain in the mode of goodness, always keep hearing and keep discussing with others, just what we are doing right now. So as long as we are doing that, to that period of time, we remain in the mode of goodness. And eventually, Krishna will keep on helping us. He will keep on purifying our heart. He will bring us to pure mode of goodness. And then He will bless us with pure bhakti. So that's the goal. And then the process is this. We have to continue hearing Krishna Katha. And that is bhakti. Bhakti. Without any material motives. Without any ulterior motives. So those who, look at how poetically it's explained, this verse. Those who drink the nectar of the pastime of the Lord, who is the soul of the all virtuous, by pastime of the Lord, who is the soul of the virtuous, by filling up the cups of their ears, purify their hearts from the contamination of the sense intelligence, and attain the association of lotus feet. So ultimate goal, we seek the shelter of lotus feet. How beautiful it's explained that, Text 31. Bhakti is the methodology even for those material desires. this was the we discussed earlier also. Moksha kama udarati bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That was material desires. Still, bhakti is a process for that person. You know, so intelligent person, whether desireless, full of desire, or desiring liberation, should worship the supreme person with fervent, devotion. Tivrena bhakti yogena, with tremendous focus. You know, that is what the meaning of tivrena. And here, Kardamuni Lord also advised to Kardamuni also same thing. O progenitor, worship of me never goes in vain. See now, that's a beautiful look. Note that. Please don't disregard this thing. Please pay attention what was verse. Here Lord himself, what better we can expect than that? Lord here himself promises that bhakti never goes in vain. Even if you've done on the bhakti platform, Krishna will always protect us. Always protect us. That kind of realization should always be there in our heart and our mind all the time. That as long as I am engaged in hearing Krishna Katha and chanting the holy name associated with the devotees, then Krishna will always take care of me. He will take personal charge of me. And he says, never goes in vain. That process is never waste of time. You know? So that is, you can never get a better promise than that. Lord himself promises that. You know. Final verse in this particular section, text 32. Bhakti is the supreme fruit of the worship of other gods. You know. Indeed, the ultimate welfare for those engaged in the worship of the various gods is the attainment of unswerving, that means unwavering, you know, devotion to the Supreme Lord, made possible by the association of devotees. So see, the sadhu sadha is very, very important. Bhakti is, of course, we are here the glories of bhakti, but that kind of bhakti we get by associating those, they already have cultivated such a pure bhakti. So when we associate with them, then we become also become blessed by such pure bhakti. Okay. So now the final section. The theme is that life without devotion is meaningless. You know, for a devotee, if he cannot engage in bhakti, is totally meaningless. He cannot even imagine himself without rendering bhakti. Devotion transcends the debilitating effect of time. That is, this verse is very, very important verse actually. This is text 33, and the verse Jiva Goswami quotes is this one spoken by Shravanakara Rishi, 2.3.17. Shravanakara Rishi also affirmed bhakti's position as the abhidheya by the method of vyatireka. Now vyatireka means a negative way of saying certain things, again proving the same point. Either you can say positively or a negative way of saying. So here is a negative way. By its rising and setting, the sun diminishes the lifespan of everyone. See that when the sun rises and sun sets, so one day is gone from our life, right? That's what it means actually. Except for those who spend even a moment by talking about Lord Shri Krishna. So for a devotee, even a moment he hears about Krishna Katha, so that moment is not counted towards his life. Out of his life. Well, how to interpret that? Of course, we know devotee also ages, right? At some point, he will die too, you know. But the point here, how do we define death? Bhagavad Gita Krishna definition of death is that when we attain another physical body, that is means by death, transmigration. You know? So those who are non-devotees, every day begins and day ends, then one day is subtracted from his lifespan. You know, so ultimately he's going to die, and then he has to accept another physical body because his material desires are not depleted yet. You know, he has developed newer desires, you know, because he's not a bhakti platform. But the one who is a devotee, even though his life is also depleted at the end, his particular finite lifespan, But for him, it's not death, because he is not does not have to accept another physical body, because Krishna makes sure he is going to Krishna is going to take him back to spiritual world, so he does not have to come back to material world again. So for him, there is not death. That's the point here. Actually. So devotee does not die the way ordinary people die. Ordinary people die to come back again in another material bodily form. You know, for devotee is the end of this material existence for him after this life, if he continues doing that process, you know, bhakti process, attains perfection bhakti process, and that too also he is not alone. Krishna is always with him, all the time, because it is Vrindavan, Krishna is sitting in his heart now, not Paramatma expansion. Paramatma's role is for material manifestation only, you know, but for a devotee, is Krishna himself there, Pugunsi is working on his devotee actually, versus external potency. Human life devoid of significance when stripped of devotion. Being glorified by people who are like dogs, hawks. So now here, series of verse actually is spoken by Shaunaka Rishi actually. You know? Again, is glorifying the virtues of bhakti process and how important everyone to practice bhakti. Being glorified people who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. A person in whose ears the name of Lord Krishna, the elder brother of Gada, has not penetrated is virtually very lean animal. So Swarupa is saying that one who is not chanting the holy name, is not hearing Krishna Katha, so his 2 ears is like holes, nothing there. And he is no better than an animal. Animal also does eating, mating, sleeping, defending. So there is no difference between us and animals. So we are also like animals, if we are not being. So human form means we are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. And this comes by associating with devotees now. So what is the significance of this statement? If he is among them, he is simply the biggest animal. Again, a series of verses now spoken by Shaunaka Rishi. Look, I'm just going to keep reading this, okay? But ultimately, he is really singing the glories of bhakti. And he is emphasizing everyone to engage in bhakti process. Otherwise, we are not humans in a real sense. We are worse than animals, actually. Alas, the ears of a person which are not accustomed to hear about the heroic deeds of Krishna are but 2 holes. It's place of ears, just like holes. O Suta, the tongue which does not sing the glories of the Lord is unchaste like the tongue of a frog. The head which does not bow down to Lord Mukunda is simply a burden, even if decorated with a turban and crown. And whose hands which do not render service to Lord Hari are like the hands of a corpse, even if it's ornamented with dazzling golden bracelets. The eyes of human beings which do not behold the deity of the Lord Vishnu are like the marks on the tail of a peacock, and the feet of human beings which do not walk to the holy place of the Lord Hari are like the tree trunks. See how beautifully he says that a mortal being who has never contacted the dust from the feet of a devotee is a living corpse. And a human being who has never smelled the fragrance of a tulasi from the feet of Lord Vishnu is a breathing corpse. So it's not really, he may be living, but he's not really living, you know. Suddenly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name, the Lord, with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears roll, fill the eyes, and hair stand on the head. Of course, none of us have reached that point, but the ultimate goal is like that. If we continue that process, the process itself is very, very important. Eventually, we will come to that platform because Krishna himself will take care of that. You know, so far, at least I know that I have not reached that stage. You know, but I continue this process by conducting these courses. Actually, you are giving me the opportunity for me, you know, to purify myself, to redeem myself. Actually. Others on my own, I could not have done that. You know. So, we are really helping each other. You know. So, with that, I'll stop here. And thank you so much. I'm very, very eternally grateful to you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we constantly pray for the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. So constantly engage us in this bhakti process, the powerful bhakti process. Hari Bol. Sharad Prabhu, thank you for answering the question. So we heard all the great virtues of the bhakti process. Alright, I think looks like there are no more questions, comments. Okay, so